And the name of our sermon this morning is called Hear, O Israel, or Shema. And we'll go into that. I want you to ask this question here. Do these sound familiar to you? Family Matters, Full House, Step by Step, Family Ties, Growing Pains, Everybody Loves Raymond, Andy Griffith Show, The Brady Bunch, Happy Days, Home Improvement. All of these ring a bell because these are all shows that our culture for years has put on that focus on the family. A focus on the family. Now, some of those shows show the dysfunction in our culture. Some of them are heartwarming shows. And I believe that Christian families long to see wholesome entertainment that model family values. And I believe that families, even more importantly, need clear biblical direction when it comes to how to raise a godly family. Now, this summer, we're going to do a series on family. What does God say about the family? What family values are the most important? For some, you're going to be building a family in the future. So what skills, understanding, and education can you put in your spiritual backpack to take with you along your journey? Some here are beyond the parenting stage, and you're in the empty nest. How can you improve your marriage? And how can you invest in your kids from afar? These are all great questions, and questions we're going to seek to tackle in this next series on family. We are 3 weeks away from Father's Day, and we just celebrated Mother's Day a few weeks ago. And with a center focus on the family, let's look at where God will put the Jewish families, their focus in the book of Deuteronomy. And so you can turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9 is where we are going to be. Like I said, we'll be jumping around to different passages throughout the Bible that talk about family. Thank you. But let's go to what is foundational in our faith. We mentioned many times that before that your family life is such a critical part of who you are. Home isn't just where you lay your head, right? Home isn't just where you lay your head. Out of your home life flows everything else. I get so perturbed at how compartmentalized we are in America. How many of you have had your boss tell you and say, keep your home life at home. That's your personal business. I don't want that interfering in your job, right? We've heard that before. Where, again, there is this feeling that, again, that our personal life is compartmentalized in the home box. But now you're in your job box, so do your job. Well, if your home life is a wreck, it's going to be really hard to do your job. Right? If your home life is really in a difficult place and you're not working on that and you're not growing that and you're not helping that to improve, you can be doing your job over here, but it hurts in here. And everything is off kilter. It's like a house that's not built on the right foundation. We talk about that a lot, right? And throughout Scripture, there's that analogy that comes again and again. God created family, and He made us to build families. Listen, no matter where you are in your journey, you're together here as part of the family of God. And we want you to know at Mitchell Assembly of God that we consider you part of our family. Even if you go somewhere else and God sends you somewhere else, you're still a part of our family. And so you may be wherever you are in life, you're part of this family, and you can help this family to grow. And we appreciate you. And we appreciate you being part of our family. And that's how we view it. It's not just, you know, well, let's sing about it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And then we don't act like it. Our heart is to truly to love God, to love people, and share life. And so as a Christian family, but as looking in the family units that make up the church, let's read this passage here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Remember, I shared this before, that Hear, O Israel prayer is called in Hebrew the Shema, which means to hear. It became Judaism's confession of faith. But this is not only a confession of faith. You know, just give me a set of beliefs and I'm just going to state them. It's a confession that the Lord comes first in our families. We confess our love for the Lord. We don't just confess it, we teach it. I want you to think back to when you were a kid. Who was your favorite teacher? Just think for a moment. Who was your favorite teacher? Was it Mrs. Cummings? Was it Mrs. Adler? Who was your favorite teacher that came to mind? Not many people. This is not a trick question, but not many people will answer my mom or my dad. But they are to be your primary teachers in life. And they are your primary teachers in life. And where did they teach you? At home, right? Look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Where does this teaching scripture compel us to share take place? When you sit in your house, right? When you're out on the road before you go to sleep? When you get up in the morning? 75% of those places are in the home, right? And so if 75% of where you're to be taught, man, this is not a scriptural advertisement for homeschool, okay? This is not. But it's a fact through scripture that everyone should be enrolled in some form of intentional education at home. And what is the primary class? Bible. We need to be reading the Bible at home with our kids. We need to be reading the Bible at home with our spouse. We need to be teaching our children a biblical worldview. And what is a biblical worldview? A biblical worldview is the lens through which we see everything. Politics, job, community, everything we encounter in life, we wear a biblical worldview lens. And what we're doing as families is we are helping to focus that lens. We need to be teaching our children a biblical worldview. After Father's Day, we're going to be starting again our series, Play the Man. As we men will be sharpening one another, we're going to talk about our intentionality to be the mentors we fathers need to be for our children. And you mothers are to be intentional about honing and focusing that worldview for our families. This isn't a sit-down class with a curriculum that you have to complete in 9 months. Some of our teachers just finished the school year, and a lot of times you're trying to cram in different things, right? You're like, well, I gotta finish this unit, and this has to get done. I better make sure I cover everything. And that can be stressful. That can be stressful to make sure you're coming. You being a teacher at home isn't like that. It's not like that. There's no final exam. But wait a second. Will there be? There kind of will be, right? The fruit of our lives is the final exam. What's really come out of how we pour into our grandkids, how we pour into our children, how we pour into our friends and church, fellow church members in the family of God. And so it's so key, it's so important. But again, it's not that you have to be, well, I don't fit the role. I don't have the personality of a teacher. I can't be that patient with my kids, or you know, you fill in the blank. I'm sure you've heard this analogy before, but God's word is a roadmap. We're on a journey of life, and when we get married and have kids and grandkids, we invite them on our journey with us. Time is short. There are some jobs that we can delegate to others, but this Deuteronomy passage can't be delegated out. The problem is we do. It's pastor's job to disciple my children. It's their teacher's job to school them, to educate them. It's the college professor's job to equip them with the tools for their life profession. And then we get angry when our kids won't listen to our advice. Well, have we delegated out everything to everybody else? We got to be careful that we don't. And if we have, we need to reassess and we need to go, what can I do now? And don't feel helpless. This is about pouring into your life. This is about being intentional about your marriage. This is about being intentional about your family. This is about being intentional as an individual that says, I want to follow God. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to honor God with everything that's inside of me. How can I be sharpened and in turn then go and sharpen others intentionally? Right? Whether you're sharpening your fellow peers on a campus, whether you're sharpening others that are specifically right there in your home. That's kind of the main focus, but it all encompasses that. I would say we have delegated this out to movies and television. Notice the ones that I listed off, right? They came to your mind. That there's some images that came to your mind. Maybe even a character, an actor or actress, or a bunch of them. Hollywood is more than willing to form your child's values, desires, and means of expression. You give that job out to them. Your TV will do that job for you. You might not like what comes out of it, but you can delegate that job right out. But you might be saddened by the results. Entertainment is a tool. Okay, I'm not anti-entertainment. I believe entertainment is a tool. We just watched a video. There is media that can, right now media, okay? There's a plethora of media out there that we can use as tools. Or we can become the tool. And we just allow just whatever anybody wants to watch, or whatever time. I'm not asking you to police. When it comes to your marriage, I'm not asking you to police your spouse. What are you watching? What are you not watching? But I will say this, are we holding each other accountable? Are we being truly honest with one another? Are we being vulnerable with each other? That's where trust begins and ends, doesn't it? If we're not vulnerable with one another, if we're not open with one another, if we're not accountable to one another, then what's our relationship? Right? And if we are policing each other, then there is a symptom of a lack of trust. And we need to review that and examine it. I love my parents, but I remember there was a time when I would wake up, go to school, come home, watch TV from about 3 to 6, go eat dinner, go back to the TV, watch for another hour, and then go to bed. And so on average, I watched about 4 hours a day of TV, okay? And I would race to go to those places. My parents were honorable and godly, but who had more influence on me in that time period? Television did. You got to ask yourself that own question too. What influence does TV have on you? It made me more introverted. I used it as a means of escape. You're like, he's introverted? Yes, I was introverted. Okay? Kids would make fun of me at school, and I was shy, and that was my retreat. And I will tell you, my sister helped pull me out of that. And I don't even think she was thinking that. She wanted to get involved with Youth for Christ. And so there was a guy named Brian Bateman. And he came over to the house, and I remember I was in the room where I shut the door and I was watching TV. And I heard this guy coming in, and I didn't want to come out. And my parents are like, I want you, John, to meet Brian. Here, come on over and meet him. And he ended up being a formative person in my life. He was the leader of Youth for Christ there. He became my youth pastor. He invited me to Acquire the Fire, where I heard of Teen Mania. And I would go on five different summers with mission trips with Teen Mania. He was the one that introduced me to that. Because of Brian Bateman, I would then choose an internship. I was focused on business in high school, and I even got an award for business. Anyways, in that you had to pick an internship, and so I picked Youth for Christ to do the internship. And my sister, her involvement pulled me in to Youth for Christ and changed my life. I would not be who I am, where I went, what happened if God had not used people that pulled me out of the sit in front of the TV for 4 hours a day. I would not be the same person. Because at that key time, God used them. But see, my parents, they didn't realize, right? They didn't realize the effect that was going on with me. But yet God used my family, still my sister, to pull me out. Right? Now that entertainment hole, okay? And again, not entertainment's a tool. But talk on the road, right? The Bible here says to talk on the road. What does that look like? Right? What does that look like? And I think about that, and we just recently had an awesome opportunity. God opened up things. We were able to stay at a family's house on the way to Yellowstone, and then there was a pastor that had a home there that said, I'm going to give you a wonderful deal to actually stay there at this house in Livingston. And so we actually got to drive into Yellowstone National Park and the Grand Tetons, go on up through it. We saw moose, we saw bear. It was just awesome. But my early birthday present, it's not till June 16th, but my early birthday present was Natalie bought me the Chronicles of Narnia on CD and all seven books. And so we were in the car, and as we're seeing Yellowstone, we have the horse and his boy playing, and we have the magician's nephew, and we have the silver chair playing, and so we're listening to this. Now, as you might know, it takes about 12 hours to get to Yellowstone, and 12 hours back, and then when you drive through Yellowstone, it's hours, okay? So we had a long road trip, okay? And so Natalie strategically gave me this, and we listened to C.S. Lewis' stories of Narnia with the talking animals, right? Our animals didn't talk. They were wild beasts. We probably didn't treat them as wild as we should have. You get excited, right? I'm like getting out of the vehicle, and I'm like, this is amazing. Here, let's get a video, you know? I probably should not have stepped out of that vehicle. Okay. but again, you know, then we're relating it to these talking animals in Narnia. And we talked about the allegorical connections to Christ and his kingdom. We marveled at the majesty of God's creation. We thanked him daily for the beautiful weather as we traveled through these beautiful mountains. And we gave glory to him. And I pray my kids always remember that. What are other ways? You can't always go to Yellowstone, right? So what are other ways? Well, we do service projects together. Dylan comes with me to help with missions, Speed the Light, through Dairy Queen. I give him the little sprayer, and he's spraying it, and we're wiping down the table. I'm like, good job, buddy. Let's go to the next one, and he's spraying. What a great opportunity to do service together with those funds going towards missions. He sees Christianity connects to service. Gabby, Dylan, and Arabella have rang the Salvation Army bell with me. We talk about how it went. I encourage them in what they did. It's not just talking about Christ when we're on the road. It's living it out on the road. We handle ourselves with Christ-like character as we're out on the road. You know, I think the greatest teachable moment that is the hardest teachable moment is when we're in the middle of a stressful situation on the road and our kids see it. And our kids or our grandkids see how we handle it. For good or for bad, right? I mean, I've had some wins and I've had some losses. But that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where they really go, wow, I mean, this is really internalized in their life. They're not just talking. They're walking the walk. And in the high-pressure situation that hit, they did the right thing. And they chose the right way. We're not going to do it every time. But again, I think that's the times where it's really caught more than taught. But don't we want them it to be purposeful? We say, you know, again, these good lessons are caught more than taught. It's a really catchy thing to say, no pun intended, okay? But I think part of that is because we're not intentional. We were intentional to get those C.S. Lewis books on CD. Natalie was intentional about that. So it started out, we actually got, okay, a little DVD player that we can play in the car, okay? So we watched different things a couple of times on it. And then I'm like, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to put in the C.S. Lewis. And at first, Dylan's like, come on, Dad. I want to watch a movie. I want to watch. And then I'm like, no, this is what we're going to play. After we started playing Chronicles of Narnia, the dramatized version, he's like, I want that movie. Like, he knows it's not a movie, but he's like, I want Chronicles of Narnia. And my kids over and over are like, for Aslan and for Narnia! Shouting it as they're driving through Yellowstone. You know, it just... so awesome. Aslan is Jesus. You know, Narnia is God's country, right? It just opens up opportunities and teaching opportunities. Sometimes when we start something, it may seem a little dry. It may seem a little hard. It may seem like, come on, Mom, why are we doing this? Come on, Dad, I'd rather this. Don't we do that in our own lives sometimes too? Like, okay, I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to read. Honey, can I have some coffee? Right? So, I mean, like, there are sometimes some dry times, right? But we got to kind of slap ourselves, wake ourselves up, and then we start getting into it, right? And then there's excitement in it and fun, and you capitalize on those moments. Then you start talking. Remember that time? My kids are so funny because they will go, remember that time when it happened, like, oh, 15 minutes ago? Like, Gabby's like, remember that time, Dad, when we did this? I'm like, yeah, it was like 10 minutes. Yeah, Gabby, that was great, you know? Like, but this creates moments where we can go, remember 3 years ago? Wasn't that so great when we're like, Finale on Vazland, and we're seeing the mountains? Wasn't that so cool? Yeah, Dad, that was so cool. And I remember this embarrassing moment of what you did here. You know, you're going to get that. You'll be prepared for that. But again, we're building memories, right? We're building moments. We're building these times where we can then go back to. The Bible talks all the time about, remember what I have said. Remember what I have done. And if we're not seeing miracles right now, remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to remember when he healed the lame man. I'm going to remember when he put mud on the blind eyes of that man. And I'm going to believe him for my miracle today. Not so I can name it and claim it, and I just want a house, and I want a boat, and I want this, so I'm going to name it and claim it. No, I'm remembering what God has done in my life, because I believe he's active, and he does amazing things, and he changes me, and so I'm going to focus on that. The kitchen table is such a great place to talk. That's the next part. Carve out time around the kitchen table. When you invite friends over, talk about Christ. Talk about Christ. Oh, and I didn't get a chance to show this. This was one of the pictures. Isn't that cool? I actually took that picture. All right? It's just so awesome. Yeah. This is at Mammoth Springs. That's so cool. This is another Mammoth Springs. It was just about to rain when we got in our car. It sprinkled a little bit. In Montana, they say, just give it 15 minutes, and the weather can change. And so, I know it's down in Wyoming too, but that's the famous saying there. There's that grizzly bear. Actually, we actually saw two. One sighting, and then this, another sighting. This is actually the cub. It's not a dog, it's a cub. And this is where I kept my space over here. Because I had my bear spray on me, okay? I was ready. 30 feet. You know, I'm not good at calculating that. So, like, the bear probably would have been, like, right on me as I'm, like, spraying her. But I knew, Mama Bear, you don't mess with Mama Bear, right? You don't mess with Mama Bear. This is a little bit hard to see, but here's the longhorn sheep. And so that was pretty awesome. Yeah, thank you. And so we actually stopped by the side of the road and came out, saw him here. He was about to buck me. No, just joking. These are going to get bigger when I get older, you know. Like, look how that bear was right. No, I'm just joking. You know how those stories go. And so I'm going to kind of, these are some of the application points that we're going to talk about, but that we're talking about right now. Kitchen table is such a great place to talk. Carve out time around the kitchen table. When you invite friends over, talk about Christ around the table and let your kids in and be a part of it. Tell stories and share life with each other. Some of the most life-shaping moments for me happened when my parents had Christian friends over and they were talking about the Lord around the dinner table. Those are some of the most formational times in my life. It was just sitting around listening to godly men and women talk about the things of God. Not just in a service, and we're gathered together, but they're interacting with each other and they're sharing and getting deep. Some of the most formative times for me happened then. This passage speaks of exuding mental and emotional energy and activity towards the things of God. Our love for God is to embrace the whole of our mind. Self-discipline is required. Remember, this doesn't mean that it's just going to happen. We have to be intentional. Mark Batterson calls it sweat equity. Have you ever met a spoiled child? Have you ever been when? Okay, I'm just joking. You don't have to raise your hand on that one. Okay, but they're given everything and they're never made to work for what they have. This could be a child in all spectra of income. A lot of times we think like, well, it's just those rich people. They have spoiled rich kids. A parent and family could be in any form of income, but their kid could be spoiled. And again, this is sweat equity. We have them put some skin in the game, some energy to show that they want that trip or that goal or that thing. That's why we ask our youth when they're coming on trips, participate in this fundraiser, right? Come to this, wipe these down, do this thing, because we want some sweat equity. We want them to care about and put some time and effort in to what they're getting. Now, on Christmas, I love giving my kids Christmas gifts, okay? And I love their expression on their face, but I am more excited when they understand that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And what it means to really put something into something and see the joy from others' faces when we do it. As you know, Natalie and I just celebrated 10 years of marriage. And one thing that she did to prepare, she would write sayings on our mirror, okay? We went to Yellowstone, as I just said. And so she would put, there's no one elk like you. On the mirror, right? And another one she put, it moose be love, okay? She knows I'm a very punny guy, all right? And so, just thinking about celebrating our 10 years, and what was written around our home had already been written on our hearts. We've internalized it, and we stoked the flames of fidelity and trust in our marriage. Again, Deuteronomy 6 says to teach these laws diligently to children. Diligence is consistency. Parenting takes consistency, doesn't it? It doesn't happen where we just do it right once. It takes where we do it again and again. Any habit that we form takes diligence to do again and again. But as we form that consistency and we apply that diligence, it's happening. And, you know, sometimes it takes, we're visual people, right? We are a visual culture. And so sometimes you have to have up on the mirror or up on the wall scripture, right? Not because we're pastors, do we have scripture on our wall, but because we want it to be in front of our eyes and in front of our children's eyes. How will you intentionally put God's word before your eyes and your family's eyes? When service projects can you and your family participate in this summer to bring you closer together? VBS! No, I had something in my throat. That's a great way to get involved, is pour into Vacation Bible School, where we're pouring into other children and their families, right? It's a great service project to join into. A family that prays together stays together. There's one, this is an easy application, okay? As I shared about table talk, invite other Christians into your home and include your kids in spiritual matters. Again, one of the commands is to talk about it when you're on the road. How can you include God in a road trip? I kind of shared with you guys how we did. Get creative. Think out of the box. Make it fun. Lastly, learn from your mistakes and be intentional. Not all of us wake up and go, I'm going to be a concert pianist. If we have that goal, it starts with lessons. It starts with learning notes and playing basic chords. Listen, I type quickly, all right, on my computer processor, okay? I type quickly on my laptop. I don't even have to look down at the letters. How did that happen? Well, I took a typing class in high school, and then I had to learn A, S, D, F, you know, skip the, da, 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 da. I had to, and then it became muscle memory, right? And so, I use it all the time. I type all the time. And it's a wonderful skill that I have, but it took a lot of time to do it. And so, like anything, it's going to take time to build muscle memory. It's going to take time where some of these things just seem natural. And it's just a part of the DNA of your life. It's just a part of the DNA of your family. It's just a part of the DNA of the church. Right? It's just, at first, it's going to seem kunk, junk, da-do. You know, it's going to seem like it's hard to get started at first. But once we put oil in there and get it going, there's momentum that builds up in your family. There's momentum that builds these wins in your life that you celebrate and that you do. Right? None of us start out as expert teachers, especially when it comes to our family. We may have even picked up a lot of bad habits along the way that we foster. God calls us to start somewhere, and he starts with the basics. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we put God first, if we start with our declaration of love and faithfulness towards him, we're setting our compasses for true north. And that's why I have this here. We actually went to a planetarium, you know, where you sit back in those seats and you look up and it's big and like a half sphere there, and they put the stars, they shoot them up on the screen and it's up on the ceiling. And we looked at all the different constellations and the planets. And again, one of the really neat, interesting facts is that the Big Dipper at its final point, if you look across, points straight to Polaris, towards true north. And the Little Dipper, the last part of the handle, is the North Star. And I think about this, and I think about the fact that Jesus is our North Star. He is true north. If we follow him, we won't be lost. He'll give us direction. If you will take that Big Dipper, right, and that Big Dipper being God's word, and you fill yourself up with God's word, it'll point you directly to the way, the truth, and the life. And so lastly, I wanted to highlight these right here. Focus on family this summer. We're going to, as a church family, make memories that center on Christ and our love for him and our love for the family he calls us to influence. And, you know, some kids criticize, Mom, why do you have to talk about God all the time? Why do you have to? It doesn't always have to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But have moments that are around celebrating family. Have a great fishing trip. But when you're out there fishing, give God the glory. Isn't it so peaceful out here? I loved in Livingston, we were in a place where you couldn't even hear the cars go by. It was just this faint sound of cars going by. And Natalie's like, I just love that peace and quiet. You know, a mom of four kids and the last one being a crying baby, you definitely love peace and quiet, right? But just soaking up nature and just going, wow, That's celebrating God. We didn't talk about it for, you know, let's just sit down and look up every scripture on peace and quiet. You know, because kids love being told to be peaceful and quiet. No, it's finding a creative means to include giving glory to God. Be careful what your eyes, what you feast your eyes on. Remember that the world of entertainment, instead of being beneficial, could instead lead to escapism or even worse things. Think about what you watch and what you hear. Third, don't delegate what's primary. You take the lead in teaching your kids and helping them build a Christian worldview. Talk through the issues of the day through our Christian lens. Help explain it. All truth is God's truth. Let's focus our lens and grow in truth. Four, find service projects to jump into. Okay, mentioned that before. Number five, participate in table talk. Have table talk. Right? Christ-filled convo around the dinner table. Six, put scripture around your house. This is not just for your kids, it's for you too. We're visual, right? Seven, go on an adventure and take the Lord with you. Okay, I know that the Lord is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But have you ever been there? There's three of you standing there, and these two are really getting so wrapped in the, up in the topic, and you just feel like a third wheel. I've been there before. God can feel like a third wheel. Yeah, he's there. He's omnipresent. But are we including him in the conversation? And then lastly, be intentional today. Don't wait. Put God first. Declare, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Potter family. Hear, O Oberg family. Hear, O Hines family. The Lord is one. Let's teach our families well this summer and make it a great one. Right? Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you for family. I thank you for this family of God that we have gathered here at Mitchell Assembly. I thank you for the individuals. I thank you for the married couples. I thank you for those that have kids, that have grandkids, that don't have any kids at all, but they have an ability to influence the people around them. And we are so thankful that they're in our family. God, I pray that we would be intentional about developing our love for you, but then also developing this intentionality to pour into our families. God, I pray that we would take these practical steps and that we would apply them. And some we can apply right now and some we won't be able to apply for a long time and everywhere in between. But God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. And I thank you for the families that are represented here. We give you praise and glory. And Lord, we also ask that you bless the cake to our bodies for those that stay and join us. And thank you for our church family. Me and Natalie truly feel loved and blessed, and we're so thankful for this church family. We just give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.